The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. From humble beginnings, training with Dean Malenko and Shawn Michaels, to wrestling in Japan, Ring of Honor, and the original NXT, to becoming a bona fide WWE superstar. This week, the NAWC looks back on the career of the ultimate underdog.
Daniel Bryan, one of the biggest stars in the WWE, has announced that he will retire.
Effective immediately, he's retiring from in-ring competition.
Wrestling since I was 18 years old, and you've been wrestling for 16 years. It gets to a point where they tell you that you can't wrestle anymore. So it is with a heavier heart and the utmost sadness that I officially announce my retirement. You know, I've been angry, I've been sad, I've been frustrated, I've been all of that. But today, when I woke up this morning, I felt nothing but gratitude.
Despite many trials and tribulations over a decade and a half, who could have ever imagined that a 5 foot 8 inch, 180 pound bearded kid from Aberdeen, Washington would go on to change the industry as we know it forever.
I am grateful because I have gotten to do what I love for nearly 16 years.
And it wouldn't have happened without the biggest support group a performer in this or any other industry could ever have. You, the fans.
It was strange because I did this because I love to do this, and then all of a sudden, you guys just got behind me. You guys got behind me in a way that made me feel that I was more than just me. I want you to know. Yes, I let you go. And for that, I'm grateful. I have loved this in a way that I have never loved anything else.
Who knew that three simple words would change a sport and an industry for the better and take a perceived B-plus player to the top of the mountain?
It has made me feel like Superman. I want you to
know.
I got to meet the most wonderful woman in the world. I get to share this moment with my family, with my friends. I get to share it with you. I get to share it with all these wonderful human beings that I have spent the last 15 years of my life with. I am grateful.
This week, we show our gratitude to Daniel Bryan.
How am I supposed to follow that?
I don't know, hon. I don't know.
Well, first of all, we're going to get all the onions out of the room.
Yeah.
And we are going to get on with this special, or shall we say, yes-tacular version of the North American Wrestling Connection. Yes, I had to make that horrible pun. That's part of the job. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a very grateful table with me tonight. I will start with our buddy down in Louisville, Kentucky, Tyler Brown.
Wow. You know, over the years, you know, we've seen so many wrestlers have to retire. Some of them have had to do it forcefully, but some of them have walked away. But the main thing to take away from Daniel Bryan is that he's walking away at a time before things get worse. You know, Daniel Bryan, one of the main things he said on Monday was that he wants to start a family. And if you injure your brain to a point where, you know, I hate to use the analogy, but to where Chris Benoit was, you know, a lot of that impact testing and things like that have improved so much that they were able to catch that before anything else happened. And to a lot of the fans who are saying, oh, well, he needs one more match before he leaves. No. He needs to be in the condition that he's in now. He needs to try and let his brain rest. You know, he doesn't need to do any more crazy dives and all that sort of stuff, which is probably perpetuated, you know, his injuries. And just let him rest. Let him have a family. You know, hey, let him come back when, you know, they can announce on Raw or they can announce on Twitter and they can, you know, blast it everywhere that, you know, yes, that, you know, Bree's pregnant or whatever the case may be. Just let him rest. Let him, you know, take his time off. Let him enjoy a nice, some nice organic gelato by the fire while sitting on his organic toilet out in the shed.
Well, that escalated quickly.
That's a Total Divas reference, if, you know, anybody's seen that.
I don't watch Total Divas, but that sounds extremely silly and very much so, very, very so Daniel. Am I correct, Jason?
It is. This was one of those things that, you know, last week we were talking about where we would he come back. And this week it's just all you got to just say is wow. Wow, we're going to get to more of it. That's all. Just wow.
And somebody who felt that impact all the way on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
And this was incredibly sucky bad news. I can't even have any humor with it. We were all hoping that this was a Mark Henry situation in which we were going to get swerved. But unfortunately, not the case. But I thank Bryan Danielson for his years of service to the wrestling business and wish him well in his future.
As somebody who got to see the tail end of his ROH tenure and the climate of WWE at the time when he was signed, I was afraid for him. I really was. Because, yeah, he was 5'8", 180, and that's soaking wet with a rock in his pocket. And, you know, knowing what Vince prefers, I'm like, oh, they're going to chew him up and spit him out. He's going to get frustrated and leave. I thought it was going to be kind of like Paul London. You know, this indie darling, this undersized guy is going to walk into the WWE and they're going to feed him to Kane. They're going to feed him to Khali. They're going to feed him to The Big Show. They're going to feed him to Mark Henry. They're going to wad him up and spit him out. They're not going to let him do what he can do.
So basically, they were going to give him the Colin Delaney treatment.
Yeah, that's what I fully expected, given the climate of the WWE when he was signed back in 2009. Now think about what we're seeing in the upper mid card and main event picture. Yeah, we got a couple of big bodies. We got Roman. Okay, that was selfish. But I mean, guys like Brian, guys like Dean, guys like Punk,
Seth,
guys like Seth Rollins in the main event picture. These are guys that would have been banging their heads against the glass ceiling like Dolph Ziggler's been doing for the last 10 years. But Seth's been a champion. Dean's this close. This freaking close. And here this little 5'8", you know, goat-faced gnome and every other silly name that Michael Cole and company gave him. Main evented an anniversary WrestleMania.
Not just one, and twice.
Yes.
That's the thing. He bookended it.
Yeah. And he had the entire arena. He is one of the few guys in the last decade who could unite an arena. If somebody was booing Brian, he probably got drug out in the back and shot.
Yes. Exactly.
To get 70,000 plus at the Superdome to just yes, yes, yes.
And it's that, you know, when the incredulousness in his voice about how do you guys get behind me like this? This is something that I brought up in a previous podcast. That passion, when you are 100% invested in this, all of the yeses, all of the nos, all of the nonsense with Team Hell No, all of his, you know, all of his tribulations when he was stuck with Miz.
Even when he got fired by the WWE after the NXT thing, people were chanting his name every single show.
The Nexus ever. Thing, yeah.
And okay. All the indie shows he did was standing room only. To the point, the Chikara show, somebody reminded me of this, the Chikara show he worked, they didn't throw streamers, they all threw ties.
Yes.
I ran into him when he worked a show in Indianapolis. I walked in wearing a tie, just to see if he would choke me out. And this humble, knowledgeable wrestler looked at me and said, I can't do that. I refuse to choke a woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud. I'm flattered and a little sad because everybody wants a tie choking pick of me. Anyway,
this is true. This is very true.
But just remember. Just before SummerSlam, when he came back, the roof came off. The cameras were shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the conquering hero. John Cena was standing in his shadow.
You mean SummerSlam 2013 or SummerSlam 11 or 10?
I'm talking SummerSlam 2010 when John Cena announced him as the mystery seventh person versus the Nexus. When he announced Daniel Bryan, the roof came off.
Yeah. It's the classic story of the ultimate underdog. It's the, as I said in the open, it's the classic story of David versus Goliath.
You couldn't get much more David than that.
You can't. In this industry, outside of having Kalisto win the World Heavyweight Championship, yeah, you can't. It's the ultimate underdog story that we all can relate to, and that's why so many people were so emotionally invested. To which I have to say, credit creative, credit the people who worked with Brian, credit Brian himself, because we all got emotionally invested. Remember, in the lead up to WrestleMania 30, though history will not tell you this, remember, it was looking like we're going to have Dave versus Orton or Cena for the championship.
And that was going over like a lead fart in church.
Blue Tista, ladies and gentlemen. Point at the sign. Nobody cares.
Or even worse, it looked like we were getting an Evolution triple threat, which nobody wanted.
But the will, and that's why I included it in the voiceover, this would not have happened without the vocal majority of the fans, for once. Nikki, you say this popular seven-letter word I can't count how many times over the almost 10 years this podcast has been around. It was organic. It truly was. That's what made it one of the best storylines in recent memory.
And I will admit this, I almost gave up on him and it.
Yes.
And I will tell you, and you want to know something? And I will say this he made the fact that he was being treated like crap so many times, okay, it pissed me off. And that's the beauty of it. And that's the beauty of it.
Okay. That's called storytelling.
Yes. And I didn't get it. I believe, excuse me. Trust me,
we served you a very large platter of crow WrestleMania night.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. That's cool. But I will say this. I mean, look at it this way, okay? When we got the text, the tweet on Monday, let's sort of really set it back.
And actually before Monday, because we had read on the Dirt Sheet websites, and I think WrestleChat had it too, over the weekend as this podcast was being put up, that there were rumors that, well, we see pictures of a slightly less bushy beard on Daniel Bryan and a bit of a haircut too. What's up with that?
Yeah, that was the first clue, and I'm like, uh-oh. Okay, but I didn't really think about it, but uh-oh. But he did it for a very good reason, as we'll find out later. Mm-hmm. But then Monday was the tweet. Go on, Jim. From there.
Well, first of all, you have to keep in mind that Monday's Raw took place at the Key Arena in Seattle, Washington, which is, of course, the unofficial home for Daniel Bryan. He grew up in Aberdeen, just a few miles down the road, so to speak, whichever way the crow flies and the goat gallops. And then he put out a tweet early in the day, Monday. And let me see if I can actually get it verbatim for you here. But and that started the ball rolling with, is this real? Is this legit? Is this a work? Is this something we, should keep our eyes on? I got it.
You mean?
And the tweet reads as follows. Due to medical reasons, effective immediately, I am announcing my retirement. Tonight on Raw, I'll have a chance to elaborate. Hashtag gratitude. And, almost instantly, superstars, past, present, NXTers, people he's worked with, people he's never worked with in the industry, with the hashtag thank you, Daniel Bryan, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is probably still trending. For all we know, it was trending for a good while this week, and rightly so.
Not at the moment, but at least in New York. I could change it to nationally and check if you really want me to.
but it was all over Monday and Tuesday.
I don't have my trend specified, so it's not on mine. And surprisingly, neither is Deadpool. What's wrong with you people? Anyway,
And he would also go on Instagram. Boom, I'm just going to follow him now. I don't know why I haven't been earlier. Brian L. Danielson on Instagram. He posts a picture, live simply, dream big, be grateful, give love, laugh lots. And he comments, just wanted to say thank you, in all capitals, to all of you. The incredible amount of love and support you've given me, not just in the last 48 hours, but over my entire career, sends chills through my body. My life is better because of all of you. Gratitude, always. And we saw that in a physical form on Monday night when he came out shortly after 11 o'clock in the third hour in the overrun. And he just stood in the ring. I think this was one of the more telling moments of the 20 minutes he was out there. He was in the ring. He heard the yes chants. And he closed his eyes for about a minute to absorb it all. And he even mentioned it vocally. That when you're in the ring, when you're performing, you got to keep your eyes open at just about all times because you're on camera, for goodness sakes. To really, he needed to take that minute to absorb what the crowd felt towards him. I think that was telling, and I think that was the perfect way to set the ball rolling for an emotional speech, and I can't lie, I was fighting back tears when he talked in certain aspects of the speech, which we're going to get to, I guess, in a few here.
Well, I'll sum mine up very simply. What I got out of it was closure, because will he or won't he was something that we had been playing for the last 2 months on this show.
And in his career, when you get right down to it, for the better part of, what, 12, 18 months, really?
Mm-hmm.
It was, closure is the word. He talked about... Yeah, I'm sorry. One of the other things he talked about, his last time wrestling up in Washington, and how the fans pretty much sabotaged what was in the ring. And when the championship thing? I think
it was Occupy Raw.
No. This was the belt unification ceremony where they had a whole bunch of former champions in the ring.
And
this is the one with the gif of CM Punk behind Hunter shaking his head and face palming because everybody's chanting for Daniel Bryan and everybody's looking at Bryan and he's sitting there chuckling to himself. Mark Henry just says fuck it and raises his arm.
and then he tells the fans to cut it. He's like, cut.
And they won't. They'll just keep going.
Dude, cut it out. You're going to get me in trouble.
they made the evil boss just shut up for about 60 seconds so they could absorb all that.
Well, he's sitting there going, don't smile. Don't smile. Don't smile. He's running the main event. Don't smile. Damn, that's a pop. Don't smile.
But in the back, you know he was gritting like a Cheshire cat. So.
Oh, absolutely. Who wouldn't?
Right.
Who wouldn't? I mean, but I think what's poetic about this is that it was Brian's words in his quote unquote hometown. It was him telling us. Yes, he sent out a tweet earlier in the day. I needed to hear it straight from the goat's mouth. We had to hear it from him. Because I think that was the only way anybody was going to believe it.
And the part that really got to me was when he talked about the last event in Washington that his father came to. And how the crowd was chanting like crazy for him. And helped make that a special moment for both him and his dad. It was the last event he would ever go to, and of course, we remember chronicling his father's untimely passing. And he was very emotional, and he thanked the fan base for something that he will never forget. And that's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of this industry. When you can truly, you know, take away the storylines, and you can take away all the minutiae. And you can truly have a one-to-one connection, and you don't even know you have that one-to-one connection sometimes with a performer, their heart, their family. It's something pretty amazing. It really is. And there was a little levity during the, let's not all be maudlin here.
Yes!
There was a little levity, of course. Of course, Daniel Bryan had to get one more zing in. Of course he did. Because the crowd kept chanting yes, 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 especially after, you know, he mentioned that he and his wife Bree were looking to start a family, to which he said, as only he could,
that's what Bree says all the time.
To which the crowd happily obliged him with a "That's what she said" chant,
mixed with a couple of "Holy shits."
So. That was later. No, you're right. It was "Holy shit." Then "That's what she said." I'm gonna have to watch this again.
I think they were trying to go for "That's what Bree said," but they went with "She." Ultimately, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
That's perfectly fine because we're finally getting that West Coast crowd because we've had Sidey on the show and he's condemned the Washington State crowds for usually being sitting on their hands bored when it comes to shows like this. Daniel woke these people up.
Well, I mean, that's why, because he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. I mean,
don't boo a Henning in Minnesota. You can't boo Brian no matter what in Washington.
Or anywhere, really, but especially Washington, no question.
But you see what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
But you can boo Cena in Massachusetts. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
More on him coming up later, but I mean...
So I was just going to ask, Tyler, did you actually see the speech, and what was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, here lately, I've been really lucky, and Mondays, they've been giving me Mondays off at work, so I'm trying to...
Can you close in on your mic a little bit there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, it's, wow, it was a very powerful speech, and, you know, it was just, to me, it was just ever so reminiscent of Edge's speech.
Oh.
You know, it was just like, it sent chills because you knew this would be the last time you would ever hear that music hit and see him walking down the aisle, and it was just like, okay, it's too many flashbacks of Edge, but there is a positive thing to this, and I don't believe this is the last we'll see of Daniel. Considering Edge and Christian are basically both retired, because I think they both have a numerous number of injuries, see TLC matches, that I believe that, and I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Daniel his own show on the network somewhere down the road, because that is probably one of the coolest forays that they have right now, is that, you know, again, Edge and Christian, you know, I know Edge has been doing Angel, I think it's called, or something like that.
Haven,
sorry. One of those things.
No, that's fine. The problem is that him and Christian have had so much doofus backed up, they had to have their own show.
Right. And
God help us when it comes out on the 25th.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. And, you know, I really could see, I mean, it could be like a full-fledged, you know, like doofus show similar to Edge and Christian's show. It could be, you know, a full-on documentary thing where, you know, maybe they make like him the WWE celebrity representative for Connor's Cure, and maybe he goes around to hospitals and, you know, and does a lot of stuff on behalf of the organization. I mean, I don't believe this is the end, but I do believe he will have plenty of time to rest, and, you know, Daniel's not leaving on bad terms. It's just, you know, he said it himself. He kind of hid a bunch of his concussions. And, you know, the indie style, you know, from what I've seen between OVW, ROH, and a lot of those, you have to sort of work a lot harder and do a little bit more crazy stuff to get noticed, because it is... a lower level, so that you can have those tapes and you can go, hey, this is what I can do. And, you know, he's a great wrestler. He's a very well-rounded, you know, he's definitely, you know, material for WWE, because he is very, he's conscious of the world around him and organics and that sort of thing. And so, this is definitely not the last we've seen of Daniel. But he's definitely going to have plenty of time to be able to rest his brain. But for anybody who, again, as I said from the beginning, if anybody thinks there's going to be a one last match, or he's going to go to another organization and, you know, do one more match or do a dream match, just stop. All right? He's done enough. You know, I don't know if he's in the same situation Edge is, where if one more thing happens to Edge, they said he could either die or be a vegetable, and that's really not what we want as fans. So just let him be. What's done is done. You know, he's had some very great moments at WrestleMania, and just leave it be. Let him get his rest, and let him start a family.
You mentioned the concussions, and that actually segues nicely to what happened the next night. He was on the Off the Top Rope segment with Jonathan Coachman on ESPN News' Sports Center. And in that interview, we were enlightened about the truth, about why he made his retirement be known. According to the interview, now, let me branch this out for you a few ways. He said he has suffered 10 documented concussions in his career. No way to document all of them. Just like if you asked an NFL player how many they suffered, it would be impossible to say. And it's also hard to define concussions, so it's impossible to say how many he's truly suffered over 16 years. But As he mentioned in the speech, he had one within five. He had a couple within 5 months of starting the business way back when. So over 10 concussions. It gets more interesting when we talk about the EEG test. This is a newer test that also measures reflex testing. For every other EEG test he had, every other brain MRI, neuropsychological testing, it came out great. He said he was looking for something to support his claim that he could get back in the business. This test found that he had some slowing and a small, this is going to get very medical, so bear with me, subacute or chronic lesion in his temporoparietal region, which is an area of the brain that causes seizures. When being interviewed, he said he suffered post-concussion seizures, quote, that I hid for a long time. There is no evidence that would explain why he had the seizures, but then they finally found some. So
that, but when I heard that, I went, I went, uh-oh.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is the part where we say, this is the part where everybody needs to stand up and apologize to Dr. Maroon.
Yeah. And really, after hearing this, we kind of have to apologize to our, we have to apologize big time fans, because Tyler, you mentioned it. There are, we as fans, as a fan base, as a whole, I mean, not us specifically, but as a whole, we can be selfish at times. We want to see one more match out of our favorites. You know, and like with Daniel Bryan, we want that one more match. We've wanted that for some time. Now we just want him to live and to enjoy life after wrestling, because there's a great big world after the squared circle, believe it or not, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, and I don't mean this to sound harsh, but it may come out that way. The fact that Daniel Bryan hid the fact that he had some seizures, I don't want to say that's selfish on his part, but I can't quite come up with the right adjective to describe my feelings towards that. I understand why he hid it, because he was so hell-bent on coming back to do the thing he loves, but he may have done further damage to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think go ahead, Nicky, go ahead.
It's unfortunately it is an old school thing. That is the indie mentality. If you can still walk, can work. And you know, people are still new enough in the wrestling industry that from the indie level, you don't think too much about that unless you were knocked out or you still kind of fuzzy. You'd probably still go, even if you were a little fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Because you don't work, you don't get paid. That's the indie mentality. Mm-hmm. And Daniel was brought through the system with that mentality. So a seizure, as long as it didn't happen in the ring and it didn't happen in front of the doctor, it didn't happen. Right? Right? So, you know, I understand where he's coming from, but he would, you know, toying with his life like this, I am surprised that Regal or Sean or Dean or somebody, then again, Daniel hid this so well, and, you know, I hate to borrow from Tyler's thing, but this is right up there with Benoit's neck injury. He hid that injury for a couple of months, even though he was losing muscle in one arm. He was wrestling with one arm, and nobody noticed. Then he went and got his neck surgery because he didn't want to leave the ring. It's a good comparison, but that's what this is. This is how wrestlers are wired. And it's hard to unwire that. We're getting into a generation that is slowly undoing all of that. And that's one of the things that the Performance Center is going to do. That is one of the things that we hope will trickle down into the independents. I don't foresee that, but one can hope. Daniel loved this business so much he was willing to put his life down for it, and a lot of wrestlers would do the same. WWE, as a publicly traded company, can't can't quite do that anymore. So, do we, you know, do I want to see him wrestle again? I would love it, but I don't want him risking his life over it. That's not fair to him. I will go back and look up matches.
Man, like I said, I'll apologize to the doctor and Vince McMahon for giving him a lot of crap. If you knew about the seizures, that's fine. I'll apologize for giving you guys crap about that. But I highly doubt that they did. But I would like to now have issue with the other medical professionals that cleared this man. Because we all saw the post that said Brian had been to multiple doctors that said he was fine. And it was only WWE doctors that were keeping him out of the ring. So either those reports were complete BS, or something's going on with those other medical professionals.
Well,
I would hope that they were BS, to be honest.
My joke was this: wasn't one of them working for a football program?
Oh, geez.
Sorry.
No, some of them were working for the person that signed Dixie Carter to play TNA Wrestling. Jesus Christ. It's like, oh, God. You don't have to have much brains for that. Jesus.
So, yeah. I mean, once officials found out about that, they pretty much probably told him retire or else. Or just sat him down at that test, which the test in question was done just before the Rumble. I think this was kind of the final straw. You know, show us.
And when the results came back. Yeah, I honestly think that was the wake-up call for Brian. Like, I don't know if he knew about it beforehand, but if he didn't, this would have been the wake-up call for him being like, oh, crap, I'm actually heading down dangerous territory here.
Mm-hmm.
So do I risk my life and possibly end up in the same situation as Benoit or Guerrero or Warrior and die after a situation where I've like had my moment in the ring, or do I enjoy start my new life with my wife and see what happens?
Because Daniel strikes me as somebody who knows how to take care of his money.
Well, for a man that's using organic toilets, I'd say so, yes.
Well, organic stuff ain't cheap. But I'm also, I'm also a cynic when it comes to organic, but he's been smart. He's smart with his money, so he doesn't have to worry about that. He's got a beautiful wife that he can enjoy, that they can enjoy many years together and raise wonderful children that may or may not enter the wrestling business, Raja.
Well, we all know how reliable that source is. But anyways, we'll leave it at that.
We've got a long time to ponder that. So,
I have one more question before we move on.
Okay.
I asked you this question. Do we get an immediate Hall of Fame put in for Daniel Bryan?
Next year.
Okay.
I mean, it would be awesome if you could go in right away, but I think in this case, let's give him some time to decompress. Let him sit back and relax and reflect on his decision and start his new life. And then we can have a party next year, but maybe I'm just doing that because I'm still waiting to hear if WrestleMania is going to be in Minnesota, please.
Well, keep in mind, it is entirely possible that WrestleMania could come back in future years to the Pacific Northwest. And what better place to have him be the charter inductee in the Hall of Fame than in Seattle? I mean, if they do it at Safeco Field like they did several years back, you know, it's possible. Or Quest Field, if the weather permits.
That's true.
So, there's a plan. There's a plan.
Right. No need to rush this. Daniel's not going anywhere.
Besides, it's time for him to be a genetic jackhammer.
That is an image that I did not need to see.
That's the thing, though. I'm, especially from the interview that I have seen with Michael Cole and Brie Bella, I think baby making plans have been put on hold because. I hate to say this, but this might actually be Bree's lucky break, to the point where, seeing as though now Daniel Bryan's no longer in the business, Bree has the opportunity to take this Yes Movement and run with it.
Well, that's actually an interesting point, because she has two things from a storyline arc that could propel her to a championship run. A, her sister being laid up with the neck injury. I saw a picture actually posted today on Natalia's Instagram. She's, you know, bless her heart, Nikki's still in the gym, fearless as ever, I should say. And number two, now adding that her hubby has retired, so she wants to do this for Daniel, you might say. It writes itself, practically.
Am I selfish to say that I don't want to see that?
No. I know what you want to see. You want to see... I'm Eva Marie and I love wrestling! No, I'm kidding.
Excuse me. I beg your pardon, sir.
Oh, is that who you want? Is that who you want to see these days? Ricky Guerrero, I apologize.
Or just... Excuse me?
No, I think you have a certain vegetable, I mean fruit, to launch that direction.
No, in your case.
That would be so insensitive.
How dare you? No, I was thinking more about, you know, a boss, maybe, reigning over WrestleMania.
I would rather see a boss take over WrestleMania in the Divas division, yes, please.
With her Mamo-chan watching from ringside, perhaps?
Bailey steals Balor.
And tackles her and hugs him.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I saw that video. That was awesome. That was...
Suddenly I want to have a bad ankle and crutches now. That's all I got to say.
Hey, man, I'm just going to say this right here, right now. I've never seen Finn Balor's entrance look so good.
Whack, whack.
I don't know what was better, Bailey doing Balor's entrance or Balor marking out like an 8-year-old when she finally got to the ring.
Yes, to the point that he damn near... Actually, he did fall down a time or two.
Yes, he did.
He fell down twice. He fell back into the ropes when he lost his balance doing the... You know, trying to do the raise arms with the crutches. And then the second time, I think he bumped on purpose when he hugged Bailey. Mm.
And did anyone see Sasha wear Bailey's snap bands this week on TV?
Ah, yes. Well,
yes, we want... No, okay, Sasha's... We'll stop cheating. I'll start... Well, can we skip... can we just skip to Bailey and bring her up now? No, After Mania.
Yeah, well...
And then, of course, the ultimate meta, our buddy Kappa Emmy jumping up and down on his pogo stick, Bailey wearing his created shirt of the Chibis on NXT this week.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I believe it was the Four Horsewomen t-shirt, yeah.
Oh my God. No kidding.
I'll get it off of his... off of his Facebook, one second.
Someone in the back of their mind is saying, but merch doesn't like this. Who cares? It's awesome.
Yeah, But I do agree with Jason. Bayley needs to be brought up after WrestleMania just so she can get the pop she deserves. Because I have a feeling that they're going more with a focusing on Sasha and Charlotte for Mania.
Oh my God! Holy crap! Oh! Wow! Very cool. Kappa Emmy must have. Well, yes. Yeah, pretty much.
I'll quote from his Facebook. Today I woke up with my heart full of joy. I received dozens of messages on Twitter and Facebook telling me that NXT Women's Champion Bayley was wearing one of my shirts on NXT, and indeed she was. Another moment to hold dear forever.
Aww. Good.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Holy cow.
Hashtag hug life.
Now, if Kappa Amy is listening to this podcast when it comes out, for the love of God, man, do an anime where Bayley, to take away Jim's idea, where she's wearing your shirt in a backstage interview and marketing comes up to her and says, "That's not one of our shirts." Hug!
Now it is! Unity!
Yeah. Speaking of unity or lack thereof,
yes,
there's one wrestler who did something that got him in trouble, and we don't know why, and it's a little weird.
Going back to the Daniel Bryan thing for Monday, yeah.
Someone's losing millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
No. Well, he's gonna lose a paycheck for sure. He's gonna lose the big paycheck. We're not 100% on the details. All we know is that Titus O'Neil grabbed Vince McMahon's arm, and I don't think he was expecting it. The clip of the video that I saw, personally, I thought Vince was very irritated and looked like he shoved Titus after he got turned around. Now, we've heard reports that, you know, Titus was just trying to be a goof and say, "Ladies first, let Stephanie go first." No, Vince McMahon goes first no matter who's in front of him. You know, even Hunter steps back, even if it's going to be his company in a couple of years. Anyway,
it should be his company now. I mean, really, you're going to suspend a man. You originally started for 90 days, but then you call off and decide, no, 60 days.
I really think this was just a tipping point for a lot of other things. Titus, they've been on and off with pushing him. He's a decent talker. He's a great role model. And this is hard for me to say. For me to dole praise on a Florida Gator saying something. Now I have a reason to hate Byron Saxton. Why did you have to tell me he went to Florida? Anyway.
Shut up, Byron. Might as well be quiet until WrestleMania, Byron.
I just find it hilarious because here's Vince McMahon. A man that is trying to take his company into the PG era and has done so successfully and is, like, continuing making it kid-friendly. And you've got Dad of the Year, Father of the Century, Titus O'Neil. And all Titus is doing is, like, just playfully grabbing him to say, "Hey, ladies first, let's show a bit of chivalry." And you shove the man and suspend him for 90 days. Well, Vince, you just lost some sponsors.
Well, let me add something that just recently it was found out that about a day or two after everything had come out, the suspension was reduced, but only to 60 days.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. He's reduced it to 60 days when realistically it's Titus O'Neil's first bloody offense, and the man and. Normal wrestlers would get 30 days, but Titus gets 60 for showing chivalry, ladies and gentlemen. Chivalry.
More like chivalry, the way he pushed Vince McMahon around.
It was a little tug. Vince, excuse us for the fact that you're a 70-year-old man and you lose your balance a lot more easy.
I'm waiting for the Sapruder-like fan film of it. Back and to the left. He pushed him back and to the left.
Well, see, here's the thing I don't get. Mm-hmm. Is like, okay, Vince has this thing where he works out and all this other stuff. But when it came to the Royal Rumble segment, where all he had to do was open one of those little plastic balls, he was having the hardest time I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, I don't get it. I understand he's old, he's geriatric, but he works out a lot. So why
would something... Dexterity is a problem, I guess.
Yeah. My question is why would something that small even bother him? I get it. You know, maybe it's a horseplay type thing, like, hey, this is a very solemn moment. You know, that really wasn't the time. You should have been trying to, you know, show your chivalry. But 60 days, like, I'd say, well, you know...
Sorry, Tal, I keep going.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, just 60 days is a little excessive, you know. Me and Josh Henninger were thinking that maybe he should have just gotten, like, maybe a one-week suspension and maybe a fine. Or, you know, obviously sit down and talk to him and say, hey, you know, that really wasn't exactly the proper time to, you know, show off your chivalric skills. But I don't know.
All right. Well, there is some more news on that, like, because we know a lot of people have been asking, why has Vince gone so bad off the deep end here? And Vince, this is why a lot of fans are saying you're out of touch with it. Titus O'Neil was used as a scapegoat because the word going around backstage is Vince is getting sick and tired of a few superstars that think that they can get away with a lot of stuff and are horsing around, yada, yada, yada. So basically, Titus O'Neil was a scapegoat. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not going to yell at Rock for going off script, but when Titus pulled Vince McMahon, he's like, all right, last straw, you're the example that's going to be made.
And it gets more interesting. I just posted the link, Nikki, take a look at it. Mm-hmm. The New York Post actually ran with this as well earlier in the week. And initially, it appears as if O'Neil might have been fired, or at least there was strong consideration by Vince to fire him.
And supposedly there was a text sent from Titus saying, okay, I feel like shit. If you want to let me go, let me go. So there's credence to that, if that text came from Titus.
Well, that's also another funny thing, is because this has affected a lot of people. Hell, it even went to Hollywood, where Dave Bautista is right now. And Dave's actually the one that sent Titus O'Neil a text and talked with him backwards and forwards, apparently.
Yeah.
And Titus was like, well, what should I do? And Dave's like, dude, if I was you, I'd just ask for my release right now.
Matter of fact, that was actually a text that was sent back to our buddy Brett Clendaniel at WrestleChat.net. Which was pretty darn interesting. I'm trying to see if I can actually get the exchange posted here. But yeah, it was a very interesting exchange between Brett and Dave Bautista. MVP even chimed in with a retweet. There is quote unquote life after the quote unquote E, referring to Bautista and Titus O'Neil. It's interesting. If I understand that, you know, you need to do the right thing during such things. You have to be the right way and portray yourself as such. But this was a relatively little thing.
And that's what's got, you know, everybody's dander up. I mean, if you really wanted to set an example, do you have to do it so publicly? For this, Titus should have been shot in the wallet. Granted, he's still getting shot in the wallet. 60 days makes sure he misses WrestleMania.
If you wanted to publicly embarrass the man and acknowledge that it's coming from you, Vince, you could have done it a lot better than giving the man a 90-day suspension. Hell, you could have had him going out there and losing to Bo Dallas week after week, and everyone would have gone, okay, we get it.
That's where I was going to go. Make him,
you know, job up and down the roster, Big Show style. But, you know.
Here's the tweet. Here's the tweet. Okay. Brett tweeted out, big at Dave Bautista, please make a call to Stanford and do something about this straight bullshit treatment of at Titus O'Neil WWE, hashtag bring back Titus. And his reply, I did something better. I called at Titus O'Neil WWE and told him to ask to be released. Hashtag one life. And he gave the Twitter.com WrestleChat net thing a plug. And many other sites picked up on this exchange. So
yeah, wow. Okay.
It went viral. And if you're listening by the 6 degrees of separation from that, we thank you for it. Because big week over at WrestleChat with all kinds of big hits. So
actually, while I was over on the site, this is not on our docket, but I'm going to pull it up anyway because I'm a fan.
Yes.
I noticed on the sidebar something about Solomon Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
Where he had done an interview. He recently spoke with Sports Illustrated's Extra Mustard site. But here's some of the meat and potatoes we wanted to hear. Let's see. Everybody was like, well, you left NXT and NXT is so hot, but I have no hard feelings against NXT. I'll be back there one day, but when I went in, a couple things happened. I got hurt at one point, and I was just not being used. I wanted to have the chance to leave and show them why they hired me in the first place. I'm still young enough to go back, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm one of the only guys ever to walk up to WWE and quit, but I didn't do it to be a badass. I needed to roll the dice, and it may pay off one day, and maybe it won't. But no matter where I am, whether it's the Fed or someplace else, I'm still a wrestler. And here's your money. Here's your money. I gave my notice on a conference call. I left on no hard terms. They knew I was miserable at the time. Triple H showed up at the Evolve show the night before the Rumble. And that was the first time I got to see him face to face and talk to him about it. The evil boss said, and I quote, man, I know how good you are, and to quit the top company in the world takes balls. You left on good terms, and you did it professionally, so if a spot opens, it's yours.
And that's how you do it, right there. Just saying. That's how
that's
you do
how
it.
You do it, punk!
Oh! Oh, oh. Shots
the password, is, and also the password is Segue, because he should be
messaging.
Well, okay, we're going to pay attention to you for about 5 seconds. Because remember, this summer he was supposed to get finally into the octagon in UFC. It was about to be on like Donkey Kong, oh my goodness. Until a nagging back injury came into play. So now Phil had to have surgery. Phil has to recover for 4 to 6 weeks before he can even get back into training. That fight's been postponed.
Just keep picking up that UFC paycheck, Phil.
Is it wrong of me to say I want to see him get knocked out in 15 seconds flat?
No.
No, because at this point I really think I do. Whoa!
Whoa!
Sorry,
Brooks has intercepted the feed here.
No, sorry, I went in the other world. Go ahead.
How dare you, sir. No.
Sorry, go ahead.
Phil, if you're listening, say hi to Cold Force. You're not wrong. I think that, you know, first of all, you know, we talked, was it last week, about him storming out of an interview because people kept bringing up wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hence the reason why we're calling him Phil on the show now instead of Punk.
Yeah, Phil.
Hey, Phil, I bet that back injury came from wrestling.
Unless AJ's been putting you in the octopus stretch at home. That's completely understandable, but we'll just leave it.
Hello! No, I think Punk would tell you it's just because he used to carry another company on his back.
Oh.
Would it also be wrong of me to say that I think maybe Punk is a little chicken shit about this?
I don't think he's chicken shit. I just think he's milking it for all it's worth.
Yeah, he really is, because this is the same man that has gone onto a friggin' interview and said, I'd fight Frank Mir or Randy Couture tomorrow if they paid me enough money. I'm like, well, do it then. I'd love to see you get in the ring with Randy and get the shit kicked out of you.
Well, see, that's the thing. He also knows that Dana won't shell out the money for the, you know, for what Phil is asking. Dana won't shell out that kind of money. It's like Vince. Vince has a money point. Although that's another segue we can play with. There's only so much money that Vince is going to back a truck up to your door for to get you back on TV. And since Punk would probably laugh and slam the door in his face, they turned the truck around and sent it to Mexico. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the segue.
Ole Maggle.
There is some word, if I understood correctly, that a certain masked luchador of renown might have some opportunities to come back up north.
Sin Cara, Sin Cara, friendly no, neighborhood, no, Sin Cara.
Wrong luchador.
Oh, you mean the one who's El Chihuahua.
But we have a Chihuahua. We've got Kalisto.
Un perro
pequeño. Anyway,
But no, they you're referring to some guy from the 619.
Yes, I'm talking about Rey Mysterio. The fact that Mysterio is even, you know, the fact that somebody's willing to lean out from WWE and offer him an opportunity to come back in the ring after the way he left, I'm a little surprised, personally.
Yes, but no.
Elaborate.
It's very simple, you see. The roster is made of Swiss cheese. There are many, 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 many holes in the roster right now. So for a short stint, why not fill in with a little booyaka booyaka? That's the logic, I guess.
And it's also... Is this also tied, though, to the money issues going on with AAA?
Yes, yeah. Oh, C, excuse me, I'm sorry.
C. Oh, wait, wrong Mexican.
Very intrigued.
Yes.
Wrong Mexican wrestler, go on.
Ring, Juanito. Juanito, yes, you got to help me. You got to give me all the money you have. I cannot run the promotion, Juanito. Help me. Give me all this stuff. All this stuff. Will mortgage Dan Levitard's house. See, very intrigued.
Yes, yeah, because we talked about this last week,
right,
that there are money issues between AAA, Lucha Underground, and the wrestlers that are getting paid. And one of the biggest is Rey Mysterio, and I'm thinking that Rey Mysterio hasn't gotten paid, okay, and at this particular point, he's like, hey, Vince's checks don't bounce. And they pay on time. They've got a good pay system.
Let's... And I don't have to go through Paulie to get it either.
No, it's
I beat you to the joke, Williams.
Thank you. Enough about Mexican jumping beans.
Hey! That was it.
No, anyway, he would be a part-time Jericho RVD Lesnar type deal, and I think put that, by the way, that would be smart for Mysterio to do.
Yes,
that would be smart as hell. And if he was smart, he'd get a check right now and get in there and maybe team up at the moment with Kalisto or something to that effect.
Or
well, now that Hunakara's healed, and I really think I would love just an exhibition style match at Mania, face face Mysterio Kalisto. Give them 20 minutes and let them show us Lucha Libre.
See, that's I think the main thing to Rey passing the torch to Kalisto. That's the end game with bringing him aboard. And I think that'd be a beautiful thing.
Rey being able to pass the torch personally.
Yes.
I kind of like that. You have my attention. You might even have my money.
$9.99?
$9.99, Michael.
You could pay $53.99 for the pay-per-view, but why don't you want to do that? Why do they still do that, by the way?
Because I will tell you why. Because they still have certain cable companies that they actually have. Oh, let's see. What was the number that I just saw?
Ladies and gentlemen, watch this. Wait, this one's gonna go quick.
No, because financials came out. Yeah.
And you want to know something? WWE people, you guys are in very good financial shape. At least, let me give you some numbers, shall we? Okay.
Yes. Bring on the numbers.
Hit us okay. with the digits.
Okay. Fourth quarter. Okay. Revenue increased 18% to $162.2 million. Okay. WWE Network had 1.22 million ending paid subscribers, which is almost a 50% increase from last year, year to year. WWE Network has an all-time high of 1.25 million paid subscribers. By the way, that's going to go higher. Trust me.
I thought I had read that from year to year, the number is actually down about 50,000 subscribers or so.
No. Okay. No. Network is the fifth largest direct-to-consumer subscription service in the U.S., behind Netflix, Amazon Video, Hulu, and Major League Baseball TV. Okay?
Yay.
Now, full year. Their revenue increased 21% to $658 million, the highest in the company's history, including record levels of revenue from the network, TV, live event, venue, and WWE shop. Okay? International revenue, 46% to $169 million. WWE Network subscribers watched an estimated, 256 million hours of content, okay? An average of 188 hours per household, okay? 8 billion views on YouTube, and 1,790 million social media fan engagements in 2015. Sixth most social brand worldwide. Insane numbers right now.
Should I go for the cheap joke or should I not go for the cheap joke?
Do you even listen to the show?
Do it.
Dixie Carter would be lucky if she got 1/1,000,000th of those numbers.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you. I take my bow.
And now for the obligatory TNA announcement.
You're welcome.
TNA, in an effort to get even closer to its fans, has decided to set up studio in a basement. Okay, that's oversimplifying. But it's funny.
Well, no, they've... But you see, Nikki, they've consolidated themselves. Translation, they can't afford the rent.
So the question is, you know, the question now, where does Eric Young and Abyss sleep?
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, you can imagine the possible problems. You know, Josh and the Pope doing the commentary bits, or at least the vignettes, you know, in the faux studio. And then in the background you hear in the, you know, a fax machine go off. Wait, can they afford a fax machine? Or you hear somebody on the telephone. Wait, can they afford telephones? Cell phone, let's say. Do, 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 do. Yes, Impact Wrestling. How may I help you? Damn it, we got to retape. Tape costs a lot of money.
I think it would be worse if we like this. It's like, hey Josh, this is a great thing of Impact Wrestling we've got here tonight. Excuse me, Mr. Matthews, did you want us to wash up the rest of the boiler room here, or do you want us to save that for another time? Oh, I'm sorry, you're alive. Sure.
Go ahead, do that right now. By the way, shout out to the Pope. Not really. In the most recent version of Botchamania, he botched so hard during One Night Only. It was during, I think, a title match, no less, saying that somebody had a 33.3 chance to win the WWE title back.
That is a new breed of Botchamania right there. Pun intended, ladies and gentlemen.
And Matthews called him to the carpet on that. I worked there for 13 years, and I haven't made that mistake yet. So, funny.
Wow.
It's fun watching somebody go out of business, isn't it? Not really. Actually, no, it isn't. Seriously, though.
I just want New Day to... I'm sorry, but I just want New Day to come out on TNA just once, still signed with WWE and going, this show sucks. This show sucks.
Burp, burp. Oh, we actually have the trombone for that, too.
Let's see. Where did I put that?
Oh, you have to have that in a high place. Come on.
Francesca, there we go.
This show sucks. This show sucks.
Not the show of Spectrum One, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about TNA. Just calm down.
Unbeknownst to all of you, because this is an audio broadcast podcast, I was grinding like Big E. Continue.
Okay, let me get the specifics of this. I'm in the wrong thread. Hang on.
Yes.
Honey.
How dare you?
Well, while you're looking for that, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to give TNA props for two things.
Okay. One.
One is the new tag team they have formed with Crazy Steve, Abyss, and that crazy bitch. I have no idea who she is. But
Decay?
Decay. Decay was awesome. That is a way you're supposed to introduce a tag team. That sent chills up my spine. I was like, ooh. Mm-hmm. And the second one is the best way you can turn a face is what they did with Ethan Carter.
Yes, exactly. I mean, look, the content is good on TNA right now. It's, you know, Matt Hardy as the heel champ is just so awesome right now. Okay? He's really good. You know, it's just, it's crazy. You know?
Oh, and just in case those who are actually paying attention to TNA storylines and wondering where Miss Raquel was, Raquel got her ass beat by a wrestler at an indie show.
Ooh.
Legit.
Ooh.
This woman used legit fists and kicks and beat the absolute crap out of Raquel in this match. She was she was bruised on her face. She apparently even told reporters she had a hairline fracture in her jaw, and she posted photos with a big black eye and all this. I'm like, oh god, you got messed up.
So I found the article, and this is from The Observer. And I'm going to try to read this with as straight a face as possible.
Good luck.
TNA has done a cost-cutting move with their office. They used to have staff on the third floor and a TV studio in the basement. Now they've just moved their staff into the basement with the TV studio. So if Dixie's parents are paying for this building, she is now living in her mother's basement. You can't make this shit up.
No, you can't. You can't. There are no words.
No.
So.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. I'm just saying the chat right now. I can't make fun of that as much as like.
Well. Okay.
As much as I despise the woman, I can't do it.
Right. Well, let me set it up at least. When last we talked about Sonny,
we talked about Sonny, we were required to do this.
Please.
Ooh, a Chico one, very nice. But now it appears, and this is serious. She's been hospitalized since February 8th or 9th. Up in our neck of the woods, actually, Lehigh Valley Hospital up in Allentown, with a case of pancreatitis, it appears. She was advertised for a Sanctuary Stampede wrestling event up in Hazleton, that's up in the Lehigh Valley. And she still expects to be hospitalized through the weekend. We have tweets from her. February 8th, so I'm spending the evening in the hospital with a pancreatitis flare-up, excuse me. Great, hashtag painful. She then mentioned she got some flowers in the hospital, some tests in the abdomen, on her abdomen, getting an endoscopy, so I can't eat till after, fun, And then she gets on some of the fans. You know, I've been sick in the hospital going through a ton of tests, and you assholes want to make jokes about it. Please block yourselves. And then somebody else getting on her shows your stupidity, and endoscopy is camera down your throat to look at your stomach, not the other end, idiot.
Kinda, yeah,
I'm sorry, it's funny.
Excuse me. Usually I'm not going to, you know, support Miss Sitch on this one. But,
you know, yeah. Oh my God.
And a further update, she may need to have her gallbladder out.
Oh,
so that's rough.
That's no fun. As somebody who's been through that, and thankfully that they were able to do it laparoscopically.
Yeah.
Meaning the tiny arms and the camera, not eviscerate you like a friend of mine.
You said viscera. She mentioned just a couple of hours ago as we record this Friday evening, I've been trying to give updates on what's going on in the hospital, but too many assholes want to make stupid remarks, so no more updates. So, We wish the best for her, and I'm trying to keep my mouth shut. But I do want to also, talking about people coming in and out of hospitals, Bret Hart had surgery the other day for treatment for prostate cancer. And there's some positive signs from that. According to an Instagram post, in the words of WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon, it's onwards and upwards, according to Bret. He wanted to thank the people at, what was the hospital? Rocky View Hospital in Calgary for an outstanding job. And here's something our fans can take advantage of, actually. We've talked about this guy on the show, I think, Rob Schamberger.
Yes, he's that wonderful, wonderful sports artist.
The
WWE artist in residence, I believe you could call him.
Yes.
To use a very erudite term, but yeah.
Well, you are our version of Orson Bean, you raconteur, you.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's all good. I've linked it in our chat, and I'll try to get Carl to link it on the main page. By the time you go for this, it may be sold out, which would be a kind of a good thing when you think about it. He is making available limited edition Hitman prints. They're on 11x14 uncoated 130-pound cover stock. It's going to be signed and numbered, limited to 100 prints. They're just $30, which is a pretty damn good deal in and of itself, and the proceeds of which, per Brett's wishes, will be going to the Prostate Cancer Center of Alberta. You can find that out and purchase that and all the other great prints, and they're a whole bunch of good ones. I'm just looking at it. Wow, I'm amazed.
Look at the AJ one. That's pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the first one that came up after Brett was Pillman, and that scared the crap out of me.
That was the point of it. It's robschamberger.com. That's Rob, SCHAMBERGER.com. Click on the store, and you can buy some of his awesome prints directly from his website, including the one for Brett, which will benefit the Prostate Cancer Center in Alberta. So I thought that would be a nice thing to bring up towards the end of this.
Well, speaking of actually nice things, we talked earlier about the fact that Daniel Bryan cut his hair. Okay.
Oh yes.
Oops, we should have gone more into that, but please save us.
I will definitely save you guys. I just need to find it out actually. And by the way, while I'm doing that, doofus. Dr. Shelby.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, even Dr. Shelby, the anger management specialist, chimed in with a Twitter video that was not PG, but not like WWE was going to show this.
Yes. What he did was he donated his hair to wigsforkids.org, like Locks for Love. It makes wigs to children who have lost their hair while battling cancer, not unlike Connor McCulloch. And it's wigsforkids.org. If you could put that up there too, wigsforkids.org. So,
very nice. Somebody's going to be walking around wearing Daniel Bryan's beard. For a good cause. So that's kind of cool. Yes, yes, yes.
And cool. That kid's going to get a ton of positive vibes off of it.
Oh, yeah!
Stop that.
Well, come on. I mean, it's a teenage kid, Maggle. Come on, it does wonders. What? Anyway.
I think it's time to start selling soap.
We've got plenty of it to sell.
Yeah, Tyler, you got anything?
Mm-mm.
You got soap, Tyler?
You remembered you were on the show. We didn't mean to put you to sleep, man. You got anything to promote?
Not exactly. I don't know if people know this or not. But is it okay if I promote something that's outside the world of wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I work for those who don't know me very well. I work two jobs, so sometimes, you know, my sleep gets a little nutty. Just side reference. But I do word-of-mouth food reviews. I've been running this thing for close to 6 to 8 months. Essentially, I just... every time you see things that all these restaurants come out with that's new, great, brand new, and improved, I'm the one that goes out and tries it to save your bowels, your intestines, whatever thing you may need to save before you go out and waste your money on it. I am actually also planning on going to CraveCon, which is the first ever gathering of YouTube food people, as well as there are some big name YouTubers there that are supposed to be going there in Galveston, Texas, August 12th through 13th, and it's supposed to be like a big shindig, and I have punched my ticket for that. So yeah, big things. If you're interested, check out facebook.com/mouth eats or look up word of mouth food reviews on Facebook.
Shane, you don't normally have anything to shill, but I ask you anyway.
Well, for those that are fellow Australians and listen to Spectrum One, we've got an upcoming WWE live event that will be happening in August for those that live in Adelaide, Melbourne, and Sydney, which will be a WWE Raw live event. So go check it out, and I hope you guys have a grand handy if you want a ringside seat.
Okay. Jim, Jason, I'll let you two argue over who promotes what.
Okay. Ready? Rock, paper, yes. Scissors, pony.
Paper, scissors. All right. Yeah. Well, why don't we start about what we did last Sunday? Which was the Super Bowl live cast spectacular.
Which Nikki made amazing.
Yeah.
If you haven't done a promo bit of half of the shit I said that night, just somebody take a few minutes, put that together, and send it to me for my own personal edification, because I don't realize how much I was on that night.
Oh, yeah, you were on like Donkey Kong.
You were on like Donkey Kong. We talked. We watched the Broncos and the Panthers, and poor Chico got it the next night on WLTI. We love to interrupt with you, Gordon and Chico. This coming week, because it is the official start of Pitchers and Catchers. Woohoo! Can't wait. We're going to do the last hot stove before the prediction show in about a month.
And boy, did something interesting come over the news wire.
Yes! Okay. 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 Now, Nikki, I got to pull you in on this one, okay? Okay. There is a pitcher on the Mets.
Oh, shit. Now what?
No. There's a pitcher on the Mets named Henry Mejia.
Or should we say there was a pitcher on the Mets?
There was a pitcher. Okay?
Yeah.
He got suspended once. I believe it was for 50 games. I think it was.
Okay.
He got for performance-enhancing drugs. Okay?
Okay.
The second time he got suspended, I believe it was for 100 – was it 80 or 100 games?
I'm going to double-check that. It might have been half a season, a full season, and then, well –
today, for the first time in the Rob Manfred era, he is banned for life. Third time's a charm, big boy. Good guy, goodbye, gone, see ya. Okay, wow.
I'm gonna wait and see if it actually sticks. How good was he as a pitcher?
Not good. The first suspension was 80 games. The second was 162, and that was... Well, that was supposed to be... remember, he came back in July, and in the same month he tested positive again. Doofy.
Right, exactly.
Idiot. So he was banned 162 games, so that would have carried him into this season, into July or maybe August. And then, you know... Oh, man. He gone.
Okay, next question. Did he get paid any of his money during the suspension times?
I don't believe so.
I don't know, but go figure the Mets, the dumb organization that they are, they re-signed him in the offseason, this offseason, to a one-year prorated deal. So that there's your, well, maybe that isn't dumb, prorated, for $2.47 million. There is one caveat, as I'm learning on Wikipedia, and they're never wrong. He's allowed to apply for reinstatement after 1 year. However, he has to sit out 2 years, meaning he will not be eligible to pitch again until at the earliest 2018. But realistically...
So that ain't banned for life.
But realistically, though, who would touch him? He was 8-14 with a 3.83 ERA. He sucks!
Yes, he sucked, and the Mets actually have a very decent float in Jairus Jairus, I believe his name?
Familia, yeah.
Jairus Familia.
These are your boys, okay?
They were
your boys in the playoffs. If you listen to the Touch 'Em All podcast,
they were very.
Yeah.
Okay, getting back to the actual plugging here. Pixel Nation, we had a recording this week. We talked about the Madden prediction that went wrong. We talked about new games coming out. The usual news and reviews from Mr. Henniger and myself. Red State, Blue State, we recorded, I believe, Wednesday night right after the New Hampshire primaries. When is a win not a win?
When you're just watching the Democratic debate. Oh, sorry.
No, when you are
we
the
all
Democratic...
lose, man. We all lose.
No, it's when you are the Democratic candidate, Bernie Sanders, you win by 20% and get the same amount of delegates.
I will give a little preview on the next edition, if I may.
Go ahead.
On the next Red State, Blue State, Ted Cruz and porn in the same sentence.
Yes, that's true. I know about this.
You've seen her work, haven't you?
No, I have not seen her work, but I think it's pretty... Yeah.
Apparently the interns hadn't.
Oh, yeah.
Well, put it to you this way. I honestly think that he had no idea about this.
He looks that clueless, trust me.
I think he didn't. I don't think he knew, and I don't think the intern who made his video knew, so...
But did the intern make both videos? Well, never mind. That's different. But yeah, we'll talk about...
No, he didn't make that. He didn't make that video.
All right, there you go. Red State, Blue State, Pixel Nation.
Very red, very blue. Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Yes, wow. Red, blue ball state. And
red, and of course, spec riffs, paper review, right?
That's going to get back on track soon.
Still a little bit on hiatus, but we will get back to that sooner than later.
And I believe you can listen to all of that on, of course, spectrum1.net, and of course, TuneIn Radio. Yes, and there you go.
Go ahead.
And if you just happen to be bored, along with this week's North American Wrestling Connection, you also will get a specialty interview as Jason Block, Jim Williams, and I sat down with the superhero sidekick Rosie and picked his brain a little bit about the business and his career, and heard some very touching remarks about being a part of the Samoan dynasty. It's a great listen. Do tune in for that.
Lots of laughs and lots of insight. We almost made him cry.
Shame on you. Shame on you, sir.
Shame on me. Shame on you.
Yeah, I know. We're friends.
But you know, so you two keep it tight is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah, and oh, God.
God dang, you didn't add it, did you?
No.
We have a new sound on the soundboard, another one.
And I need to go find it. I need to go get it real quick.
It's on the thread. It's perfectly fine. I will vamp for you.
No, I found it. I'm downloading it.
Up, down, child. I still can't get over the thing we heard pre-show with Big E just letting loose.
But you're right. That we should have an uncensored thing about. But yes.
I'd pay it.
So yes, indeed.
Keep it tight! Keep it tight!
Gosh darn it, Bailey, when sounding like a Muppet is even more adorable.
And Kappa Images just needs to capture that. He will never be able to duplicate it.
No. Just like we can't duplicate what we've done tonight. Take it home.
Indeed. So for Tyler Brown, for Bad News Beeman, for the already departed Jason Block, for Jim Williams, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do always tune in, but in the meantime,
stay golden, pony boy.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.